There's one huge roadblock for so many entrepreneurs: knowing what the right next step is to grow their business. Too often, I hear the frustration of trying out a strategy that all of the experts and gurus have been telling them is the secret to success, only to see lackluster, if any, results. Honestly, the problem isn't them. The problem isn't even the strategy. The problem is often that their business isn't ready for that particular step. So today we are going to dive into part two of the business growth checklist to help you determine the right next step for where you are in your business. Let's get into it. Are you ready to grow from solopreneur to CEO? You're in the right place. I'm your host, Rachel Cook, and I've spent the last decade helping women entrepreneurs start and scale service-based businesses. If you're serious about building a sustainable business, it's time to put the strategy, systems, and support in place to make it happen. Join me each week for candid conversations about stepping into your role as CEO, the hard lessons learned along the way, and practical, profitable strategies to grow a sustainable business without the hustle and burnout. Hey there, CEO. Welcome back to part two, stage two of the Business Growth Checklist series. Now, if you listened into the first part of this series, then you heard me discuss the core stages of business growth, the three stages that we've outlined according to what we see most with our clients, and in each stage, what the particular focus challenges are and what the marketing and sales strategies look like for each of these stages of business growth. I also went deep into stage one, which is the startup stage that each and every one of us has to go through. It is hands down the hardest stage. It is the most challenging because there is the most uncertainty, the most unknown. And if you have listened to that episode, then I know you are chomping at the bit to get into today's episode and the upcoming episode about stage two, stage three, all about stage two, success, where you're stabilizing your business, you're putting systems in place in your business, and then stage three, scale, where you actually have a business that can grow beyond you. So today I want to really hone in on stage two, which I call the success stage. As we get into this episode, I want to remind you, we are talking about a resource you can go download and use in your business. It is absolutely free. You can get it at theceocollective.com/checklist so that you can see every single action step that I'm recommending for your particular stage of business. And I recommend you go download this because even though I know this episode is going to be so helpful for so many to really get into the nitty-gritty of what I put into this checklist, having a resource that you can print out, that you can go through, that you can use in your planning process is going to be super helpful. You'll also be getting some additional resources once you sign up for that free checklist to help you navigate through it. So let's get into talking about stage two, the success stage. This is a stage most of my clients are in when they come to me. This stage is really exciting because now you have proven to yourself that people will pay you to do the thing, to deliver the product, program, or service. And honestly, this is a stage that I feel like doesn't get enough credit because we are in a world where everybody feels like more is better. And that if you're in business, you must only be in business to be a gazillionaire. And that's honestly not the case for so many of the women that I work with. Most of the women that I work with, yes, they want to make great money at the thing they're doing in the business they're building, but they don't always want to do the thing to like the nth degree. They don't always want to chase after growth for growth's sake. They don't often want to scale, where they're now responsible for a bigger team and a lot more complexity. There are so many people who their whole goal for starting and running this business is to have an incredible business that they love that allows them to have the lifestyle and the freedom that they love that is honestly pretty simple and easy to manage and fits in with their whole vision for what they're trying to create for their life. So there is no shame in looking at this stage as where you want to be. As this, the goal here is to get through this stage so that you can stabilize your business, so that you can make your business rinse and repeat, so that it really runs like clockwork and is just an amazing, amazing way to make a living for yourself, your family. Okay. No shame in that at all. And I think it's really important to highlight that because I'm just tired of so many people being made to feel like if they don't have a 7 or an 8 or 10 figure business, that they're not doing it right. I call BS on all of that. And in fact, a lot of the advice that I hear out there is so focused on scale, 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 grow, that they miss the beauty of just having a business that truly works for you. They miss that there is a lot of freedom and flexibility and having a business that runs like clockwork. That's what this stage to me is all about. So let's get into what we are talking about in this stage, in the success stage. Now, like I mentioned before, I don't have a particular revenue level associated with any of these stages because depending on the type of business you're running, the revenue levels could vary wildly. I know multiple people who have businesses in this stage who are making multiple six, maybe even high 6 to low 7 figures in the success stage without adding a lot of layers of complexity on top of it, trying to scale, you know, beyond that. And I know people who have businesses at all those different levels. So keep that in mind. This is more about what your business can do for you. So the first thing we want to talk about is your focus in this stage. As you're going through the checklist in this stage, your focus is your business foundations. One of the things that is so crucially important, once you know that your product, program, or service is a go, people want it. People will pay for it. You can get results for people. Now it's time to implement 4 key systems in your business. And those key systems are going to be your marketing, your sales, your delivery, and your operations systems. If you can implement these 4 systems in your business, you will have a business that becomes very rinse and repeat. And honestly, a business is much easier to manage. It'll be very consistent for you. So we're going to dig into those systems even more. The biggest challenge for this stage of business is the feast or famine cycle. Now, inside of the State of Business Owner report that came out, they share that 80% of small business owners struggle to get consistent clients and cash flow. They're in that feast or famine cycle. And in my work with so many women entrepreneurs over the last 15 or so years, I have seen that the biggest reason why people struggle with the feast or famine cycle, why it's a start and stop with the revenue in their business, is because they don't have the 4 systems that I just talked about in place. They don't have systems in place for marketing, sales, delivery, and operations. And because those systems aren't just like humming right along in the background of their business, everything is start and stop, right? It's like you're trying to spin plates. You have to get each of these 4 plates spinning and you have to keep them spinning in order to stay out of that feast or famine cycle. So that is the biggest challenge that keeps people stuck from having the business that they really want. Marketing and sales in this stage is where you might get going with referrals, with word of mouth, with networking, things that are very high touch and one-to-one, to then transitioning to more one-to-many marketing and sales strategies. This is going to be key because while I love referrals and word of mouth and networking, and it's still a massive part of how I do business, it also can be very challenging long-term because it means you always have to be pushing, you know, that ahead yourself instead of having things that are bringing people towards you without your efforting. So we want to start building in other marketing and sales channels that do the work for you without you having to work so hard for each new potential client. Your money goal at this stage is to pay yourself. and not just pay yourself once in a while. We don't want you to be the last person who's getting paid from your business. We want to make sure you're building the solid foundations that allow you to pay yourself a consistent salary each and every month, that allows you to pay bonuses to yourself when business goes really well, and importantly, allows you to build reserves so that you can weather any dips in revenue. Because honestly, there is no business that is always going to make the same amount month after month after month. We all have seasonality in our business to some degree. There's always going to be ebbs and flows in your business. So you have to plan accordingly and build those financial systems accordingly. So if you have previously seen the business growth checklist, you're going to be really excited because I added quite a few things in this updated version to really address some of these different challenges. And as we get into the checklist, the first thing that I added in is all about your operating system, how you are operating your business. Just like if you have a computer, there's an operating system that runs all the different programs and keeps everything working smoothly. We need an operating system in your business. Now, here at the CEO Collective, we call this your 90-day CEO operating system. Everything we do inside of the CEO Collective is built on the 90-day planning process that we teach, that we do inside of all of our quarterly CEO retreats. If you've purchased the CEO planner is based on a 90-day system. Everything that we teach and that we do is based on this 90-day planning system. So this is the time we're putting in place a 90-day plan is going to be so incredibly helpful. And if you've taken any of my trainings about how to do a 90-day plan, okay, if you have the planner, by the way, you can go through a free training series that I created to tell you how to create that 90-day plan, or you can join us for the virtual CEO retreat to create the 90-day plan with us. The way we approach it is not to continuously be coming up with new goals and constantly be doing more, more, more. It's about identifying what works in your marketing, in your sales, in your delivery, in your operations, and build upon that, right? The goal of the 90-day plan is to get these systems in place, get them to the point where they're rinse and repeat so that your goals for the quarter, for the next 90 days, really become about what am I marketing? What am I selling? What am I delivering? What else do I need to do to make sure the business continues to run smoothly? You might have projects outside of that. You might have goals outside of that. But a business shouldn't just be about going after more, more, more goals all the time. It's about building that solid foundation that brings in consistent clients and cash flow, about you consistently being able to show up and serve those clients and ultimately getting the results for them, right? So creating a 90-day plan is one of the most powerful things you can do in this stage of business because it's starting to get your business in a rhythm. And if you can get your business in a rhythm, you're going to see, one, the consistency start showing up, but two, you are now able to see more clearly what is working and not working, because it's hard to judge that if you haven't been consistently following through. As you are implementing your 90-day plan, there's a few tools that we talk about quite often. And again, these are things that I have taught about inside of the CEO Planner. If you did not take the Fired Up and Focused Challenge, the things I'm about to mention to you are inside the free Fired Up and Focused Challenge, firedupandfocused.com. It's 100% on demand, this 5-day challenge to help you start showing up like the CEO in your business. So these things are all directly from that challenge. They're part of our operating system, how we show up and work every single week, every single month in our business. One thing that I highly recommend is setting your CEO score. This is a scorecard approach to how you can actually track your time and give a value to the different types of tasks that you're doing to make sure that you are doing CEO level work and not getting buried in the day-to-day busy work. When you use a CEO score and you track your time, you can very clearly see why your business is or isn't growing. Because it will not grow if you're doing maintenance level work, if you're doing behind the scenes busy work. It will grow if you're doing growth level work, CEO level work. So we want to set your CEO score. We want to stop doing the lower value tasks. We call these the $10 an hour tasks. These are going to be the basic administrative operations, customer service level tasks, you know, the busy work, the day-to-day daily grind that kind of starts to take up a lot of time if you let it. This is one of the biggest mistakes I see entrepreneurs make is they feel like, well, I can do it all myself. Yes, you can, and you don't have to. And there is a ton of technology out there that for $35, $50, $100 a month, you could have a tool in place that streamlines and automates so much of this work. Hiring somebody for $25, $30 an hour, a few hours a week, can take so much off your plate and ultimately buy back your time so that you can do the higher level CEO tasks. We also encourage everyone at this stage to create a model calendar. Again, get into the Fired Up and Focus Challenge. There is a whole day dedicated to the model calendar. But I think the most important thing that I want you to understand when it comes to having a model calendar, having time blocked into your calendar for the most important things in your business, like your CEO work, your client-facing work, your behind-the-scenes client work, marketing, sales, business development. When you block those things in your calendar and you really start running your week instead of letting your week run you, you see momentum much faster. So we want you to get that model calendar in place. Now let's talk about some additional pieces of the puzzle that are going to make your business run smoother. Creating a client onboarding system. You need to make it easy for clients to work with you. You know, if you have experienced this, you want to go work with somebody, you have a conversation with them, you're ready to go, and then it kind of feels like they don't have their act together, they don't respond to you very quickly, there's no agreement, it's hard to pay to sign up to work with them. Everything's just very clunky, right? So you want to make it easy for people to get started working with you. You want to build out an onboarding process and you want to put this into a system so that balls don't get dropped. I love Dubsado if you're a service provider, Practice Better for wellness professionals, Paperbell for coaches. Jane is something that a lot of my healthcare providers use. These tools make it so much easier to sign contracts, to get paid, to schedule your clients, to get all of their new information. And it just makes you show up like a professional, right? Instead of cobbling together all of this stuff. Make it easy for people to pay you. Make it easy for people to get started. This is also the time to begin refining your signature offer. The 80-20 rule plays out all the time in business. You don't need a million offers in order to grow a sustainable business. In fact, each offer you create has additional complexity and a multiple of three. So each offer you create needs a marketing strategy, a sales strategy, and a delivery strategy. So I recommend streamlining this and focusing on one core signature offer. And then when you are fully booked out, when you have gotten amazing results for your clients, the exciting part about this is it becomes easier to market that offer. You've got the track record. You can increase your fees for that offer. And you can have just more consistency in your business because you can standardize that offer. You can look at how you can streamline that offer. You can build in resources for that offer so your clients get even better results. So instead of building multiple things, create one offer, go all in on it, okay? This truly is the foundation for a sustainable business. Now, does this mean you can't have other offers down the road? Not at all. I just recommend having one signature offer that you are getting known for, going all in on that for 12 to 18 months before you add anything else in, okay? So signature offer, get it filled out. Standardize it as much as you can. Increase your fees as you're delivering better and better results. Reevaluate those fees every 6 months. Fill your client docket. Build a wait list. Once you have a wait list, then it's time to maybe create a new offer. Then you have enough demand pent up from potential clients that you could potentially fill, let's say, a bite-sized offer or an introductory offer, or maybe even an alumni offer, like something for existing clients that they graduate into. Think about that. That will make your life so much easier. You want to be growing your network in this stage. This is so crucially important. I think it's really easy to get caught up in all the things you can do behind the scenes, like on your computer. But honestly, every major opportunity that has come to me has come because of the people I know. So the people you surround yourself with now, they become your referral partners. They become your mastermind partners. They become your emotional support system. You are now playing at a level that most people aren't. And if you are trying to go to your significant other, your partner, your friends, your family, and they're not business owners, and you're trying to explain to them like what your frustration is or where you're stuck or what your challenge is, they're not going to get it. They are not going to understand. You need to surround yourself with other people who are in the entrepreneurial space because they will understand what you are going through, whether it's a business challenge or the emotional ups and downs that come with entrepreneurship. So make it a priority to connect and build those relationships. Okay, now we're getting into some of the more marketing things that I recommend at this stage. And it's really important that you put these marketing systems in place. So if you've heard me talk about the marketing framework we use, you're going to hear it again. We want you to use that framework and start figuring out the pieces of the puzzle when it comes to that framework for your specific business. Step one, focus on one core attract strategy. Like I said, networking and referrals are fantastic starting points, but we want to build in at least another attract marketing strategy that's getting you in front of new potential clients for the very first time. The core strategies I always talk about, search. Optimizing for search engine optimization on Google, on YouTube, on Pinterest. I have several clients whose search is their number one source for traffic. That's their number one way that people are finding out about them. So search could be a great fit for you, especially if you're very niche or people are looking for someone in your specific location. Search is great for local businesses. Another great attract strategy to consider is other people's audiences. This is where you're pitching yourself for being featured in front of other people's audiences as a guest expert, as a guest writer or contributor, speaking on stages, being interviewed on people's platforms, getting press or publicity, doing JV joint venture partnerships. Those are great ways to get in front of existing communities, existing audiences, and showcasing your experience and expertise. This is really great if you do not want to be kind of restricted by location, by geography. You have something that can be out in front of lots of people in lots of places. And it's great if you're running an expert-based business. If you are a coach, a consultant, a course creator, information marketer, something like that. Other people's audiences is fantastic. Another one is advertising. I always say this, I'm always hesitant to recommend advertising unless you have the rest of the puzzle in place, you have the rest of the marketing strategy in place, you know that your advertising will convert. It is only getting more expensive and therefore more risky to go into advertising. You don't want to spend money that you can't afford to lose. So if you are going to consider advertising, only do it once you have proven with organic traffic that everything will convert. So once you choose one of those core strategies, one of those core attract strategies, where are you sending those people? It's engage, right? This is the next piece of the puzzle. You've heard me talk about this before. And usually it's either going to be to join your email list. So now you can send them your newsletters and emails, or you're going to have them request a consult, request a proposal, request for more information. So who should do what? Well, if you are more of a boutique business, you are a service provider, you have more premium clients, especially if you are serving people in your fees start at five figures and above, they're going to want to just talk to you. They're not going to want to sit on an email list. So go ahead and make it easy for those people to request a consult, request a proposal, request more information. If you are somebody who has lower price point products, programs, or services, courses, info products, anything along those lines, then email list is a great way to start the engagement and start the process of building the relationship with those potential clients. So keep it simple. Make sure you're choosing one of those and starting to build that landing space really for those people to exchange your contact information so now you can follow up. Then you want to focus on one core nurture strategy. And this is important because most people aren't purchasing the first time they land on your website, right? So if 99% of the people who hit your website are not purchasing from you, you need to capture their information, you know, like I said, get them on your email list so that you can nurture that relationship. This could be through a newsletter. This could be through podcasts or video show or blog or social media. Personally, I always think about newsletter being my first place that I'm nurturing, and my podcast and my newsletter are very tied together. I would choose one. If you don't have a nurture strategy in place, start with a newsletter, keep it simple before you add more outlets. Your social media is a part of this, by the way. Social media is very much nurture. This is where existing people who already know you, they already have some connection to you in some way, shape, or form, are now starting to wonder, okay, is this the right person for me to work with? Okay, once we have those pieces of the puzzle in place, we have an attract strategy, we have an engage strategy, we have a nurture strategy, then we want to make sure that we are actively inviting people to work with us. And I'd recommend mapping out in your calendar that you're going to promote your signature offer, signature product, program, or service 2 to 4 times per year. If you have been on my email list for any length of time, you know that we open the doors for the CEO Collective 4 times a year. 4 times a year, we open the CEO Collective. And our process is very similar each time. We do a content series, we have something exciting happening, and then we open and close the doors over a 10-day period generally. It's usually about 10 days that we have enrollment open. And this is so important because you cannot assume that people know how to work with you. They may not. They may not even know what you really offer. You have to be crystal clear and make that invitation in order for people to take the next step. Once you have started to do those things, okay, that's like the baseline foundation of what we need to have. If all you do from this checklist in stage 2 is what I just went through, you will have started to stabilize your business. You will start to see more consistent clients and cash flow, usually within 3 to 6 months, because that's how long it takes for these things to start to iron themselves out and to really get traction. What comes next? Once you've stabilized, now we can really start to optimize. We can really start to layer things on top of that. So this is where you may start thinking about your next level offer. Your next offer could be, again, it could be turning, maybe your signature offer has been 1-to-1 and you're going to turn it into a group program or a course program. Maybe you're going to consider creating a bite-sized offer or an introductory offer. So something that's smaller and less expensive for people to get started with. Maybe you're going to have an exclusive premium alumni or client-only offer. Only consider creating a new offer when your signature offer is as rinse and repeat as possible. You may also start considering adding in leveraged launches. Leveraged launches is when you are shifting from selling 1-to-1 to selling 1-to-many. So instead of simply getting people on a call and having a sales conversation or doing a sales proposal, now you might be doing something that's more leveraged where you can get lots of people to learn about your offer. So this could be a challenge, kind of like we do with the Fired Up and Focus Challenge or the Best Year Ever Challenge. This could be hosting a webinar or a video series or really any other one-to-many strategy where you are able to make the offer, make the invitation to multiple people at a time. This is really exciting because now you can make sales to multiple people at a time. This is where a lot of my clients start to add on something with a little bit more leverage. So instead of working exclusively 1-to-1, they have something else going on. You may also internally want to start streamlining your business, right? And one of the things I love to do is start creating a swipe file for your inbox. Over time, you will see you get the same questions again and again and again. Start creating copy and paste swipe files so that whenever people send in a question, you can quickly respond to them. This will make it, one, faster for you to get through your own inbox, but also makes it easier for you to train someone else to manage your inbox. So start thinking of the top 10 questions you get in your inbox and how you could make it a copy and paste swipe file so that you really don't need to do a lot of thinking or a lot of time responding to things. This is the time where you might start creating standard operating procedures. So if you're getting ready to hire a team, if you're getting ready to outsource anything in your business, SOPs, standard operating procedures, it's just a collection of your systems, your processes, how things work, so that you can pass it off and you can free up your time. The easiest way to do this is just start documenting what you're doing. Literally, we record, I'll screen record something as I'm doing it, and that is, you know, how we do the thing. It does not have to be complicated. This is something we talk about a lot in the CEO Collective. We have a whole training on how to create your standard operating procedures because many of our clients are ready to start building a team, and it's really hard if you have no way of teaching them how you want things done. Another thing to start doing is documenting your client experience and your workflow. This is going to be powerful. Not only will documenting your client experience and your workflow help you to see how you can streamline your process or create systems, things that make it easier to go through what you're creating for your clients, but it will also set you up for team members to take on specific tasks in delivering that offer to each client. So maybe you have an intake process with each client. Maybe you have a team member who could step in and do that intake process. Maybe there is an analysis of that information you got from that client. Maybe you have a team member who can do that analysis. Like, you might find you can teach people to do different parts of the process for each of your clients. You don't have to be the one to do all the things, which is really exciting. This is how we get to the point where we can grow without it being tied to just being us. Other things I think are really important are going to be making sure that you are tracking your metrics. It's important that you start getting comfortable with your numbers so that you can make clearer decisions so that you can really see what is and isn't working in your business. You might be getting ready to hire your first assistant. Maybe you're getting interested in hiring somebody to work with your clients. Maybe you're getting interested in hiring somebody to help you with marketing or sales. This is a point that gets exciting because you might realize you can hire some people to get things off your plate so that you can stay in your zone of genius doing the work that you truly love and that you do the best, and have other people supporting you so your business isn't just solely dependent on you in order to stay open. We also recommend on the financial side of your business, which I think is really important to talk about. This was not in the previous checklist, by the way. I added all of this, especially after the last couple of years and seeing how stressed out so many entrepreneurs were about money in their business. So let's talk about money. Implement Profit First in your business. If you've not read the book Profit First, you know I've talked about it a lot here on the podcast. I talk about it so much because I think it just makes sense about how you can set up these different percentages for what you're going to spend in your business in these different areas, how much you're going to set aside for taxes, how much you're going to set aside for profit, and it prioritizes paying yourself. So important. Don't let yourself not be able to get paid. Like, you have to be able to get paid. And in fact, we built that into the Get Paid calculator to make sure that as you are setting your numbers and setting your goals for your business, that it's built around how you can actually pay what you need to pay yourself. So as you implement Profit First, we want you to be thinking about how to make your business as financially stable as possible. I love the idea of having a solid cash reserves for your business. Just like in your personal life, you might have an emergency fund of like 3 to 6 months, maybe even longer if you're a little more conservative. That is so important for business. And I don't want any single business owner to stress about a failed launch or a slow month or something completely outside of their control that tanks their business for a few months. So setting aside some cash reserves of just like your emergency account, like 3 to 6 months to pay your bills gives you enough of a cushion that you can pay your team, keep things moving forward, and have a little bit more time to determine the right way to pivot, to adapt and adjust, and not have to dip into your personal money, right? We want to separate that at this stage. At this stage, your personal money is separate from your business money. And this is also why I recommend exploring other business capital options. You should not be dipping into your personal savings to invest more into your business. You should not be dipping more into your personal savings when you're having a rough month. This is so crucially important. I think we don't talk about this enough, just in general in the entrepreneurship community. Most of us are proud of the fact that we've bootstrapped our business. But if you, especially if you don't have the cash reserves yet, having a line of credit, having a something that you can go like to your bank or wherever you're doing business, getting that line of credit when you don't need it can take so much pressure off you. It can give you so much peace of mind. And if you don't use it, you don't have to pay anything, right? It's just sitting there waiting for you. So I think exploring those things is a great idea. It'll give you some peace of mind. It'll protect you from dipping into your personal money and just give you a little bit more flexibility if and when the need arises to go after it. It's also a great idea to have some business capital if you are starting to invest in things that are going to take a while to pay off. So I have a client who just wrote a bunch of checks for a big event she's going to host next spring. Well, she's writing checks almost a year before this thing is going to happen. It's going to take a while for her to get the money in from that event, but that's the nature of hosting events. You're going to write money, you know, you can write checks way in advance. So having some capital can also be a great way to bridge that cash flow that you're expecting to come back. So something to think about. As you're making these decisions, hire a bookkeeper, hire a CPA. Have people who are well-versed in your business, in your industry, and can help give you feedback, who can help you save in taxes, who can help you make decisions. It's going to be crucial. Make sure you are paying yourself a regular paycheck. Put yourself on payroll. In fact, as you start growing, if you're in the U.S., you might start hearing about filing as an S-corp so that you can save in tax. You will need to follow some rules in order to do that, but put yourself on payroll so you are starting to get in the habit of paying yourself something and then adjust it as your business continues to grow. Make sure you are paying your taxes. If you're on payroll, the nice thing is that's starting to happen every time you run payroll. If you're not on payroll, you'll have to pay your quarterly estimated tax, but make sure you're on top of that. You don't want to get fined. It's not the worst thing in the world if you're behind. You know, you just call and make a payment arrangement, but start getting ahead of that. Don't let this become something that you get scared of. It's really not that scary to make a couple phone calls and set up a payment arrangement if you need to. I've been there. I know so many entrepreneurs who have, especially if you grew faster than you anticipated and didn't pay enough in estimated tax. But go ahead and get a handle on this. So important for your own peace of mind. Start saving for retirement. There are a lot of retirement options out there for business owners. And unfortunately, we're not talking about this enough. You can set up a 401k for your business. You can have an IRA, a SEP IRA that you're saving to. There's a lot of things that you can do as a business owner. And there's a lot of ways you can really save more than most people can just because of the different options available for small business owners. So start thinking about that. As your business grows, make sure you're saving for future you to have that wealth and to have that security. As your business grows, get used to the idea of paying yourself bonuses. This is actually my favorite part of Profit First, is every quarter we can look at Profit First and say, ooh, how much did we make in profit? And I can pay myself a percentage of that as a bonus. And I actually love that in the book, he talks about making sure you're spending it on something fun. So the something fun in my world is usually taking my family on a fun trip or doing something we haven't done before. Make sure you have also gotten a legal team in place. So this is the time to get a lawyer involved. You have to know, like, contracts are so important. Having solid terms are so important. Don't wait until something happens to protect yourself and to protect your business. Because for a lot of business owners, it's not a matter of if, but when something goes wrong. And you want to make sure you have solid terms and contracts in place. Thankfully, there are some incredible lawyers who specialize in working with small businesses and entrepreneurs who are very accessible. In fact, there are several who have made contracts that you can purchase from them and just need to, you know, tweak a little bit for your specific situation. There are so many options out there, but make sure you're investing a little bit to protect yourself now. And finally, my final thing about stage two, especially before you try to get into stage three, which is all about scaling, is taking 4 weeks off per year. Now, this is definitely my personal opinion on this checklist, but I can't tell you how many people I've seen just burn out of entrepreneurship. They're working nights, they're working weekends. They have not built this in a sustainable way. And while it would be nice for everybody to take 4 weeks off per year for vacation, the reality is a lot of us need time off to life, to deal with life, right? Like, you're sick, your kid is sick, you have a death in the family, you have something that needs your attention and is going to pull you away from your business. So the goal is to have time off so that you can have fun and enjoy your life. But also the reality is you're going to need some of that flexibility because life is going to life and it's going to life hard. We want to make sure you have the flexibility built into your business that you can step away for a period of time and the systems keep running. The clients are taken care of. The team can keep things happening. They can keep the marketing and the sales and the delivery and the operations running behind the scenes. Even if they have to drop the business down a little bit in order for you to take that time off, that's better than it grinding to a halt when you need to take that time off. So when are you ready to move on to the scale stage? That's how we'll wrap up this episode. When are you ready for stage three? I would say if you've completed 80% or more of this checklist, you may decide you want to scale your business, where you really want to go after a lot of growth. You're going to build a team to go after running everything in your business, and you're going to step 100% into that CEO role, moving yourself out of the operations role, out of the delivery role, out of being the sole person for marketing and sales. So 80% is what I recommend. And I think the most important two things here is pay yourself a paycheck. If you're not paying yourself a paycheck, you're going to be really miserable when it comes to time to scale, because scaling takes resources. It takes time, money, and energy. And if you're not able to pay yourself now, you might struggle even more to pay yourself when you're starting to get into scale mode. Your business needs to be profitable before you can scale, unless you're going to go after taking on a lot more debt, which is not always the best thing. I really like only using debt as a way to kind of bridge some cash flow when I know cash flow is going to come in, but there's like a lag in the time, or as kind of that peace of mind. I don't really want a lot of people going after tons of debt in order to scale. That can be a sketchy place to be. So think about that. I want you to be able to pay yourself. And those 4 weeks off are important, because if you can take 4 weeks off in your business, that means your business can run without you a little bit. And honestly, to scale, it's going to have to run without you being involved in the day-to-day. You're going to have to shift your focus to higher level growth activities. And if you can't step away for 4 weeks without your business completely shutting down, you're really not going to be able to scale without you working 24/7. So I hope this was helpful to kind of hear me walk you through the different pieces of this business growth checklist, the updated 2022 version. I recommend going to grab it, theceocollective.com/checklist, print it off, evaluate where you are. You might see some gaps you need to fill. And of course, there's additional resources and tools for how you can implement these things. Also, inside of the CEO Collective, I mean, this is what we're working on with our clients. So you're really getting an idea of the type of work we're doing with our clients, especially at this level, because this is where most of our clients are, is solidly in stage two. We would love, love, love to support you. You can get on the wait list for the next enrollment cycle. Okay, I cannot wait to hear your insights from this one. Make sure you are tagging me over on Instagram at rachel.cook and let me know your insights, your takeaways, and most importantly, what is the next action step you're going to focus on in your business? I cannot wait to hear.